Welcome to the Social Flight Live podcast, an audio version of our live show, hosted every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern at socialflightlive.com. Social Flight is brought to you by Aspen Avionics, Avidyne, Bose Aviation, Continental Aerospace Technologies, Lightspeed Aviation, Massimo MightySat, Tempest Aero Group, and Whip Air. And now, here's your host, Jeff Simon.
Ariel, welcome to Social Flight Live.
Oh, I was teasing you about being stressed earlier. Now I'm the one sweating. I can't myself, so hopefully I look presentable. But
you look wonderful and radiant as always.
Oh, radiant. I'm glowing because I literally am a melting Eskimo right now. I'm so hot.
Okay, well, we will get started. Thank you again to everyone for being patient with the beginning of the show. Ariel, thank you so much for joining us. You are one of my treasured friends. I am so thrilled to have you here. And I want to talk a little bit today. We'll get to more about what's going on with you at the moment. But I really want to start by honoring really your family and talking a little bit about the whole kind of your whole Alaskan community and aviation in Alaska there. And I sort of apologize up front for hitting you with this, but I just wanted to say I really have wanted to do this episode of having you come back on to honor your father so much. He meant so much to so many people, but ultimately he was your dad. And yeah. I just want to say, please tell us a little bit about, life there and with him.
Yeah. Oh man. I promise you, we'll all come back together in like 30 seconds. This happens every single time I try to talk about him. He was the best dad. He was so much more than, so much more than a pilot to me and my sisters. He literally went to every basketball practice. He danced a lot. I wish people got to see like his other side. Every year after like our last day of school, he would blast music from the balcony and play Alice Cooper's School's Out for the Summer. And he would just be dancing in the kitchen and all our friends. Like it was the best, but yeah, he was the best. I miss him so much. I feel him a lot. And still really hard to talk to him, but I'm trying to get better at it because I guess I can't go through life whenever anyone mentions him, I just start crying and sweating. And he's probably laughing at me right now. But okay, I'm back. But thank you for asking about him. And maybe we'll circle back and talk about
We can circle back and do that. Tell me about your family there. And I know you've been in close touch with your mom, obviously, and there's still this aviation underlying connection between Alaska and wherever you are traveling.
My mom's so strong. I don't know, like her and my dad, they were together for 35 years, and I don't think they spent honestly more than like 10 days apart. They worked together all the time. They worked together, like they were always together. And so like to have my mom, to have her like lose her best friend, he was all of our best friends. Like he was just the best person. But for my mom, like her husband and her partner and how my mom's handling it is like, she's just strong. She has to deal with me and my sisters, and she's like right now she's like fishing and berry picking, and like the amount of support we've gotten from Western Alaska and our family and our friends in Western Alaska and all over the place, but just my aunties, uncles, people that have just been helping my mom out, it's amazing, like the generosity that people have. And I'm so grateful for everybody, especially the ones who are like taking care of my mom. So she's amazing though. And she's a little pit bull. You guys all seen her probably, like she's wild and crazy and fun. And this definitely made her stronger, like made all of us change so much. Like that's a weird part about like losing someone or like someone you care about so much, is like you're all like you're grieving them, but you're also grieving the old you. Like, I'm like, am I ever gonna feel light and fun and exciting again? And so it's just like, is this, am I gonna be a heavy old fart the rest of my life and not feel like light again? But I know there's hope though, just to see how, just seeing my mom like push through just makes me just be like, okay, get your stuff together and let's keep living and making memories and like remembering my dad. So he, like, his memory stays alive is really important for me. And so, yeah, I'm trying to do better at talking about him, because the first couple, I guess his first year, I've sort of just spent, yes, I've been in Nicaragua and Costa Rica because there nobody knows the story and I could act like this all didn't happen.
Mm.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to, I guess, realize that it is a reality and just like learning how to live with it. But yeah, I'm not even making sense anymore. So yeah.
You are. Yeah. It's okay. And I do not want to push you into an uncomfortable area. I do love the connection, of course, with what it was like, you know, for you growing up in aviation and the way that you've talked about having that around as a normal part of regular life.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh man, growing up in Unicle, like our house for a while was the airport. And so just waking up, going to have to like thaw out my dad's plane with our hair dryers. Like if we did that, he would usually give us a ride to school in our little snow machines. Like just learning a customer service. Like we used to have to load up the planes, unload the planes, wipe bird shit and bird feathers. Sorry, I can't swear. Bird feathers off the plane, and like dealing with passengers and sick people and just loading milk jugs and cartons of eggs. Like it was just part of our like daily life, and it was so fun, and it definitely that's I think where I learned about like people, and like I love interacting with people and meeting new people and joking with people. And so I'm so grateful that I had that upbringing, and it was so nice having my dad too, like not being from the village and being from the lower 48, because I got that, opened my eyes to a whole different world too, that it wasn't just village life in Alaska. I got to see Minnesota and like all like some other places, and that really like got my like passion for traveling alive and kicking. But again, back to your like question, this like growing up at the airport in the village was just so special, and I think that's just made created my whole like world view on like people and like how people want to be treated, and that everyone, like, we're pretty darn similar like everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, so much of what you've always told me about your background and growing up was all about being in this crossroads, this area that where everyone else came through what was your home, and it's such a kind of service oriented approach to other human beings. I find that to be really touching.
Yeah, no, it was, again, it was just so unique. And there, no, people would funnel through Unicle because we were the hub to get to the other villages around us. But we saw similar people all the time because they were like a lot of the working folks going to Anchorage, a lot of teachers coming back and forth. You meet, man, like we, like our village, we had around like 650, 700 people, and the villages around us have like 300 some people. But for basketball, like every weekend we would travel to a different village. We'd have wrestling tournaments, and that's how we like met other kids from around the district. And that's where we got your, like, I didn't get my first boyfriend. That's where my sisters would get like their first boyfriends and everybody else. But yeah, it was just so special. I'm so happy that I got to grow up there, and just, it's just created my whole viewpoint on everything. And I wouldn't be who I am without Unicle and without growing up in Alaska and my parents, who are just so unbelievably supportive. Like they, at one point I really thought I was going to be the first girl in the NBA because my parents never told me I couldn't. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to be like Muggsy Bogues or like Michael Jordan. I thought I was for sure going to be the first girl in the NBA. And I wasn't until college that I was like, wow, people are way better. change goals. But my parents and the people in the village, like, they really made me believe that I could do whatever I wanted to do. And they were like that for a lot of people. And just like having just that unconditional love and support from everybody around, like in the villages and other communities around. Shaktuluk, like my favorite people on the planet are from Shaktuluk, like a village right north of us. And they are just in love with my dad. And just and that was my dad's favorite place too. Like, he just loved Shaktuluk, but the villages all around the Bering Strait, like, just such like a great community.
That's amazing. What was, for both your parents, what was their kind of view on wanting you or your sisters to kind of, to not just be part of just kind of rolling up your sleeves and working to help things around the business, but maybe make that connection where aviation was something that got into your blood? What was their view on that?
Well, even like my mom's side of the family, like my grandpa Wilfred Ryan started Ryanair, which is a big cargo company, and like my dad's competition. But I mean, it runs in our blood. Like my grandpa flew, my mom flies, like a lot of my uncles fly on my mom's side. And then my dad's side, like, he flies, my sisters, my parents always knew, I think, that, I mean, my little sister, she wasn't on the show, but I mean, she would have been the star for sure of the show. She's the best pilot. She flies like an A-12 or an A-7 helicopter.
What?
Like, she flew for my dad forever after college. Like, her and my dad went to helicopter school in Oregon, in Kalispell, or no, yeah, somewhere that starts with an M.
Kalispell's in Montana.
Montana. wait, time out. What's there's a good McCall, Idaho. Not even close. I guess sort of close in the region. Yeah, so yeah, my college. And so my dad definitely knew that I wasn't going to be the brains of the aviation family. He, like, we always knew my little sister was going to, like, either run the business or, like, just, she was, has aviation through her blood, and she's so passionate about it, and she loves it so much. And for me, like, my dad and mom knew I was, like, they knew I definitely wasn't even going to fly for the company. Like, I love flying, but I like making TV, and I like making like travel shows, and I like cartoons. And my dad, from the like super young, I think young age, knew like, this girl doesn't have her head straight on her shoulders. No way she's going to be flying by herself across like the Alaskan skies. But they were supportive of me. In the beginning, I thought I would be like Eskimo Oprah, and then Eskimo Katie Couric, and then I wanted to be like Letterman, and now I'm like, well, I don't even know what I'm doing. But they like, I've always made it pretty clear that I wanted to work in entertainment, and so by them signing on to the show just shows their support again. Like, they did it so I could get like my foot in the door, and I got to live with my parents, and I got to get my pilot's license. So for me, it was a win-win-win-win, like, win situation. And for my parents, I like, man, we had so flipping fun just hanging out together and getting to like work together for, man, like 3 years. I got to live with them and work with them, and they got to follow, like, I mean, I wouldn't have got my license without like their support, and my dad like helping me study and going out and building hours and talking and bullshitting with him on the radio. And I was like, hey, I'm taking off, is anybody else up there, watch out, like, clear the skies. And but back to your question, like, it's aviation is all in all of our blood. Like, all of us love flying. And even though like what happened to my dad and Shane, like, we're still the biggest advocates for aviation. We love it. None of us are afraid of it. Like, we love flying. We want other people to fly. We want the younger kids in the villages to fly. That was my dad's big passion too, is like teaching younger kids from remote places in Alaska to fly. For the 4th of July a couple years ago, him and my little sister flew to Shaktuluk and took kids up on helicopter rides just for fun. Like, that's what he did. And he didn't tell anyone about it. My mom didn't even know what he was doing. Like, he just went, flew to Shaktuluk and was like, hey, whatever kid wants a ride, it'll take you up. And he loved it. And so I'm like, me and my sisters and mom, like, all of us still like are the biggest like cheerleaders for anyone that wants to get into aviation, because it's amazing, like, being up in the air flying, like, it's the best.
It must be such a wonderful like amazing leap to come from some of those communities where you're so kind of just attached to the earth and the world and what's part of your local community. And then there's this massive leap to all of a sudden cockpit, you know, flying and what you can do and how you can take yourself into the sky. And that's really an amazing thing that you and your father did and your family.
Yeah. No, all of us, that's another big connection with me and my parents. Like, we love nature. Like, all of us, like, I'm surprised I'm sitting in a house right now. Like, I'm starting to get twitchy.
I am surprised you're sitting in a house right now.
I wasn't a couple minutes ago. And then this Wi-Fi, this technology stuff, I just can't figure it out. But no, that was our big love for nature. All of us had to go hiking every day. Like, every night we'd go on family hikes. Me and my mom run every single day up in the mountains or like wherever we're at. My dad would go on, like, the last couple years, he was going on a couple hikes a day. And like, he just, like, we just have to, like, all of us love nature, and the sky is part of nature. And I think that's, we love it so much too. It makes you feel like a bird. And like, we just like being in the air and like being in the mountains and being on the river and the ocean and just all of it. And so, to be able to view like this world, like, from the skies too, like, how lucky are we? Like, there's so many pilots probably listening, like, man, we are so lucky to be able to have that bird's eye viewpoint. Not a lot of people, man, like, just such a small percentage of the world gets to do what we do, so we're like so lucky.
That is very, very true. I think, you know, a lot of people may not realize that you mentioned earlier you're just passion that you always had for wanting to be in media, wanting to be out there. And then, of course, you are an unbelievable athlete. You actually are the one that started the show. You're the one that brought all this by being on, correctly?
Wipeout. So So America, the Ninja Warrior, my classmate and cousin is Eskimo Ninja. And so he... So he was on that as well. So yeah, it was like, maybe it's just our class. Like, we were all a bunch of clowns, but just competing on that show. That's when I realized, like, oh, for sure, I need to be on a show, because it was like being a part of a team. Like, you're creating something together. You're teammates with other people, and you're like-minded, and you're playing. Like, we're just a bunch of adults playing and make believe. And I love, like, I just love it. It's so fun. It's challenging and you're learning constantly, but it's fun.
How much of the kind of drama of the show, when people go back and watch reruns of it, was kind of Ariel created? Or how much was the way that life was when the camera's off?
I mean, nothing changed. Like, I honestly, even like I lived with my friend was a producer on the show, and she would always say, it's like, yeah, none of you guys changed. We all seriously just forgot about the cameras. And none of us, like, look at me. Like, we don't really care how we look. We also, none of us fight. Like, I've never gotten into an argument with my dad or my mom. I think I raised my voice at my mom a couple of times. But I've never been in a fight with them. I wouldn't even cross my mind to disappoint them or to make them mad or to like lose their trust and stuff. So yeah, I'm like, I couldn't imagine that. But yeah, what was this talk? What was the question about Wipeout?
I just pointed out that not a lot of people realize that you actually launched that show. From first getting yourself a girl, you know, a very young girl from Uniclete onto Wipeout, and then pulling a film crew back up from there up to Alaska.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Did I ever tell you how I got on Wipeout though?
Please tell me. Tell all of us.
I was in college. I wasn't a good college student. I would skip half my classes to go audition in LA for like soap commercials. I remember my first like soap, like shampoo thing. I like thought I would walk into the little audition, like rake my hair through my fingers, and my hand got caught in my hair. And and I was like, well, I'm not getting this. I was like, so many dumb moments. But Wipeout, I wasn't cutting class on this one. It was a weekend. And I was playing basketball in Venice Beach. And then one of the producers from Wipeout was like on defense. And he's like, you are one weird, crazy person. You should audition for this show on Monday. And I'm like, Sure. Okay. So I went, and my neighbor in college, Timmy, taught me how to crack a Coke bottle on my head. And so for my audition, I like went into the little audition room, like, my name's Earl Tweedle. I'm from a little village in Alaska, and I blah blah blah. And then I was like whack, and like thought I would hit my head with a Coke can. I cut it wrong and ended up like hitting myself and almost knocking myself out, and I started bleeding. But then I started laughing, and then the producers were like, yeah, she should be on the show. So on the show, I like broke my finger, like broke my toe, like broke a rib. Like, it was wild. But that, again, that's when I was like, oh my God, this is so fun.
And then you turned that into bringing everybody back up to Uniclete, be like, hey, mom, dad, I'm done with this. But guess what?
We didn't really even tell my parents. I think I forged their signature. And then we told this like Discovery Channel that they were in, and then showed up with a crew of like 18 people. And my parents were like, one, why aren't you in school? Two, who are all these people and where are they staying? And why are they holding cameras? And I'm like, well, I sort of dropped out for I don't know for how long. And this is the camera crew, and we're doing a show about you guys. So let's go. And they were pissed for like a couple minutes, and then they met the crew and fell in love with the crew. And a couple of the crew members lived with them for a while and at the cabin. And yeah, and they just, it was, they, I think it definitely, they had a good time. It was, I haven't even thought about it. It was probably so much more like stressful for my mom and dad, because my, like, they were doing logistics for the camera crew. I would just, dicking off and like just like twirling around on the runway and like just I don't even know what I was doing. But my dad, like my mom and dad, did so much. They should have gotten like producer credits instead of me, because they were the ones like making it happen, like things happen. My dad would get so excited about so we would produce like towards the third season, because no family's that exciting. So like the third season, my dad would get to come up with ideas of like, hey, like, can we get some mountain climbers and I'll fly them to this peak if in like the Brooks Range or something? And he loved that, because like he normally wouldn't get to go fly these climbers to, like, I think selfishly he was like, where can I go on Discovery Channel's dime? And like, can I get, because he was getting some gas money out of that. And so he'd be like, okay, he's a businessman. Like, let me milk this like situation. And like, let me do something I normally wouldn't get to do on my day-to-day life. And let's go play. And my dad was playful. Like, he like loved playing. And yeah, no one got to really see that side of him. They just saw like businessman Jim, boss Jim. But like, this last year, like right before, he was, surprised me for Valentine's Day for a father-daughter. My mom, like, we went and hopped to different ski resorts, and then he was called his buddy. He played hockey like before he was a pilot. Like, he was like a really good hockey player and played on our like semi-pro team in Alaska, the Wolverines. But the last like year and a half, I would call him and he's like, hold on, I'm having lunch with my old teammates. I'm like, dad doesn't do lunch, and he doesn't like but he was trying to make new friends and connect with his old friends. And we were like holding my mom's hand all the time and like super flirty and like kissing her little paw before she would go to bed. And so, yeah, he was like, he loved living and he was playful and fun. And like, he is awesome. But again, I keep getting sidetracked.
No, that is wonderful. And you know, it's one of the things that I keep thinking as you're telling this story is that I don't know if you yourself see that direct connection of how he was like looking for opportunities to get people to basically make the life happen that he wanted to do and the adventures happen that he wanted to do. That's what you tell me about that you're doing every day.
Thank you. I've been seeing more of myself and him like a lot lately. And at first, because I'm like, where did I get this wanderlust from? Like, why the heck can't I stay still? And why I left the village and I know I'm never, I mean, I'll go back to visit, but I'm never going to live there again. And I'm like, where did I get that from? And I'm like, oh, dad. He left the Minnesota farm and took his motorcycle to Alaska when he was like 17. And so I'm like, yeah, I got that from him for sure. But I never really got that connection, because I mean, me growing up, like, I just saw him working all the time. And like, he was like he wouldn't, we're like, Dad, let's go to Mexico or somewhere fun. He's like, no, I just want to, he just loved being at the cabin and in Uniqlo. So I'm like, he didn't like to wander and travel. And now I'm like, oh my God, he got out and he created this beautiful life for himself and his family and our community. And like, and he did all that. And I think I honestly think it was really intentional. Like, I think he was like such a goal setter and he worked so hard, but he did like, yeah, I just remember him growing up and like in the beginning and stuff before the, like, when we had only like two planes, I remember seeing him like climb up onto the sink and in a Folgers can is where he kept all his cash. And and so like he didn't put money in the bank. He didn't have savings. He didn't have like, he was like pretty, like he won't eat white rice because all he had growing up was white rice to eat. And so like he was just a hard worker and motivated, and he got out of that Folgers can and like was very, like pretty successful. And he, I think, I am so proud of him, and I like, yeah, I just hope that I have that gusto in me and that I work as hard as he does and that I could like create a life that I'm proud of like him, because he was like, yeah, he's, I think he was very proud of what he created, and my sisters and my mom and like all his like siblings too. Like he was like just a good guy.
Oh, that's so true. That's so wonderful. I mean, has it occurred to you before us having this discussion part now that, you know, of course, you are such an adventurer, as you mentioned, and getting out there. And I know you think of Uniclete as home, but that this was his adventure, that this was him, what was basis for you was his destination, actually?
No, this is the therapy session.
Yes. No, what can I do for you? Let's talk.
No, I love that. I love that connection. Like I never really thought, because I mean, like you look at your parents sometimes and you're like, geez, they're dull, like why don't they go and like do stuff? But like that's contradicting to what I say, but I never, like, what an adventure for him. Like he like went from Minnesota to a super small town in remote Alaska. Like that takes a lot of balls. Like that's,
yeah
I thank you so much for pointing that out though, because I never really thought about it like that before, of like how like what a wild hair in him, or like how cool.
Yeah, you literally were his adventure, and the fact that you then were able to re-energize that for him and give him all of these opportunities, as you mentioned, to fly hikers to the mountain, to do things that would be adventures and fun that may not be part of his life had you not given him the gift of bringing the show up there. I really think that that's an incredibly special thing to give back to your father.
Thank you. Thank you. We had some really good conversations. Me and my dad like talked every day, like multiple times a day. And like the first, whenever anything exciting happens or like sad happens or whatever, he was the first person I'd call. And so me and him are yakkers. Like we could chat about everything. So he definitely told me, and I'm so grateful for that. Is like, just like he had fun doing the show, and he did say like, what a cool opportunity. And yeah. And he was also the one that had to end the show too, because after like someone wanted him to shake a wedding cake on the ground and act like it was turbulence, and he had to deliver a wedding cake. He's like, we are done here. Like this, we're not actors. Like this is getting ridiculous. And so he pulled the cord on that one. And oh man, I was devastated. But now I get it. Like he stuck, him and my mom, like they stuck to their morals and values better than anyone I've ever seen. Like like my mom still is like just such a good person. And they don't flaunt their like help out either. Like so many times I'm like, oh, I want to share like with the world, like with like how generous you guys are. And they're like, don't tell anybody that we're doing this. And I'm just like, oh, but I want to brag to everybody about how like amazing they were. But they, no, I'm so lucky he told me though, how he felt about the show and that like, yeah, he wouldn't have gotten to do some of the things if the show didn't happen. So he was a good communicator. My mom, if she's watching this, she was like, haha, dad, a good communicator. He was, though. He, like, he had his own way of communicating and of sharing stuff. He, like, yeah. But, yeah, no, he told me. He told me that he was happy.
I also love that there is so many of the things about both the way you grew up and Air Alaska there was this kind of very unique balance of on one hand running a business, on another hand doing a lot of things that you just kind of do for your community. And yeah. It's not black and white. It's not like just, you know, for business, for money. There's something else to that that's really wonderful.
No, he served Western Alaska. Like that was his, he loved helping people in the villages. And that's the thing, like it's not run like that anymore. Like my mom and dad, if there was a phone call at 2 a.m, oh, you bet your butt he was going to go fly and like pick up someone in Shaktuluk to take them to Nome for a medical condition. Now, like they would be like, no, you have to get on the computer, book a ticket, and then wait for the plane to come at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Like we're not picking you up in the middle of the night. But for my mom and dad, like, no, that's someone's life right there. You're not going to wait for your computer to turn on. Like everyone knew their phone number. Like they would, if someone was like lost and found, like my dad in an instant and other pilots in the area would go and look for the person, not be like, and we wouldn't charge the family for gas. Like, no, we're doing it because we like, one, we like love the person that's missing. Two, that's just what people do. Like you go and help someone and you're not going to charge them for gas. Like that's what people are doing now. And like, if someone like just had a baby, oh, phone is already hung up. I'm already on my way there. Like would be in the air, like still on the phone. Like couldn't do that, but like on the radio, just being like, I will be there in 15 minutes. Get like, and then we'll take them to Nome. Or they just like, yeah, it was a business for them for sure, but it was so much more than that. It was like serving your community, helping your neighbors, just helping. Man, there's so many times he took me and my teammates to other villages to play like basketball games. He would squeeze, don't tell anyone, but he would like squeeze an extra person. Like,
don't tell anyone.
FA, if you're listening, then like doesn't even matter anymore. But he would like
you get 10% more useful load out there. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. And we were a bunch of light little high school kids. Like he would just be like, hey, like one of you guys hide, and was like, don't tell anybody. But he didn't want that kid to like miss out just because there was a one seat not like in the plane or whatever, but he just wanted me and my sisters and our friends to have the best time, and he made all these opportunities happen. He would take us to basketball camps every Sunday. We had this massive sled growing up, and he would cram after like Sunday school, like 12 of us in the sled to take us out sliding. He would take us dog mushing. He was just like,
that's wonderful.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that he was a helicopter pilot. I don't remember ever seeing him fly a helicopter.
He didn't. I mean, it was after the show.
Oh, like, yeah.
It was like way after the show. Him and my little sister as just a like bonding thing. Like for them, like those two are twins. Like my little sister.
What's which little sister? What's their name?
So my little sister's Elaine, and then my older sister's Ayla, who was on the show, like very glam, very beautiful, like so fun. Yeah, she's awesome, and she's living back at home right now in Alaska. So she's doing great. But my little sister and my dad, it must have been, geez, 6-7 years ago, went to, I'm pretty sure it was McCall to get their helicopter license. And my dad, he only did it a couple, he got his license and built like a couple, like not that many hours, but just, he was like, yeah, I'm too old for this. It's a whole different muscle memory. Like Lane and her boyfriend now fly. And so he's like, you kids do the helicopter flying. They had a little R-44.
Yep.
And so he would use that at the cabin. And he liked it, but I think he was like sort of afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could hear him right now being like, no, I wasn't. he just wasn't passionate about helicopter flying like he was about like smaller aviation planes.
I know that we were talking about making arrangements for a float plane together and trying to get that done. I'm sorry that didn't happen, but that would have also been in his like adventure box.
Yeah, we should still do that though. I still want to get my float ratings.
Yeah, me too. Let's do it. I am sure that people out there would love to see us go and do some videos, doing some float plane training. I'm sure we can make that happen. That would be a blast.
I'll take the van to you, and then we'll take the helicopter or to the plane to like the Bahamas, and let's go swim with some pigs.
Oh my goodness. That is totally what we're doing. That, okay. There's no question we're swimming with the pigs. That's a given out in, yeah. in the Bahamas. All right. So speaking of that, people need to see this. This is what you are currently doing and what I will be seeing you in person. Right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, that was, someone was calling. yeah, no, that's my van. I told you my dad for Valentine's Day. I don't even know. It was like his last Valentine's Day. We went all over to different ski towns in like Idaho, Utah, at that area, and on that trip we were like, we need to get a van, and then eventually start driving this van to Argentina. But first we were going to spend like last winter going to all the fun little ski resorts all over America. That didn't happen, but then yeah, a couple months ago I was like, I'm gonna get this van. I still need to do it. And so got this van. It's called the Beast Mode. And it's correct, like my check engine is what light went on, or I was telling
I
you about
told you I'm gonna help you with that. We're going to take care of that.
I actually just went to the O'Reilly's and we plugged it in and they said nothing wrong, and that eventually the check engine will go off. But see, you're going to have to be my Uncle Jeff now, because my dad is usually the ones, whenever I had a problem with anything, I would call him.
That's a given.
So you're going to get a call probably every other day.
I'm in. I'm broken down. Anytime. We'll pull over and get it taken care of. And I know you are going cross country and you're going to be here in this studio, which is this house, which is this workshop, all in one. And so tell me about your trip.
So the goal of the trip, on August 10th, I have to go to a friend's house in Kunibunkport, Maine for a clam bake.
You're not going to tell, are you seriously going to say a friend? Is that really the way you're going to put that?
Well, I'm going to say his name's Craig, and that's all I'll say. Oh. I don't throw him under the bus. So now I just said like the name of the town where they live. And so, yeah, but no one goes stalking him. But anyway, so I'm going to Maine for a clam bake. And I'm currently in Tahoe. And so I have like 10 days to get my butt over to the East Coast. And so I want to see family in Minnesota, Ohio, and like some places in Illinois. And then I need to look at a map.
Yeah.
And get to you in Massachusetts. And then we're going to have some beers, go flying, not in that order. Not in that order. And then maybe you'll drop me off in Maine.
You bet. There's no question. There's an airport right up where we're going to be going. I'm telling you, I'm ready to be your plus one. I'm telling you, I know where we're going. I'll fly you right up to the Sanford Airport. Kunibunkport is right up there, and then maybe after that we'll leak out to everyone who this mysterious Craig is.
If you know me, you know who it is.
Who may also be a pilot.
But it's gonna be fun. I'm excited for this trip, and I've never done the East Coast like road tripping. So I know I want to stop in like North Carolina, and just like hike my like Tennessee, my dad's brother just moved to somewhere in Florida. So I eventually want to make it to Florida. And then I guess at some point I'll have to turn back and head back over to the West Coast. And then I'm going to Maine. I'm taking my mom and my aunt, my dad's sisters, who are just so much fun. We're starting to do this thing like once a year, we go to a different place that we've never been to. And we just make memories. That's once like all this happened, like the biggest thing in my goal list is just create memories with my family and my friends and make this life matter and just like laugh a lot and play a lot. And like, yeah, I just want to be with my loved ones and like just make it every day matter and make every cup of coffee that I have just the best cup of coffee. And then like every run, have it be a great run. Is like, I want every day to count. And that's what I'm striving for now.
That is such a wonderful, wonderful way to live. It really is. And again, I treasure you and your person and everything that you bring to so many people. You put light in pretty much everybody's life that you touch, and it's a ton and ton of fun. You're also working on some projects going on. What can you say about maybe the Fox one or something else?
Yeah, so I'm trying to, so I've been, I think the last time I was on here, I was trying to create a cartoon about these two elderly Eskimo ladies that, it's a long story, but they end up on a cruise ship, blah, 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 blah. So 8 years, and then so my biggest, like, so I created a little 3 minutes called it like a sizzle reel, like a short film. And then I showed it to somebody over at Fox Studios, and they really like it. So on August 19th, I have a big meeting with them to talk about development. So hopefully the next time I talk to you, I'll be a developer and creator and a voice in a new cartoon. So I've been working on that really hard. I'm writing a book about a lot of stuff. There's like, I've been writing a lot of poetry and like a lot of stories about life, and I journal a lot. And so I'm creating that kind of thing. I'm sponsored by this protein company called Isopure, and they're awesome. If you guys, everyone needs some protein in their life, and it's 100% whey protein isolate. So there's no gluten and lactose, and it doesn't make you feel all bubbly and stuff or like bloated. So I'm so happy that I'm working with them right now, because they're like my one consistent job. I'm working on another IMAX movie, or developing an IMAX movie that will take place in Ecuador. And that one is going to be awesome. And we're so close to getting it greenlit. And so it'll be with the same production company that I worked with for Into America's Wild.
Ooh, wow. Can you tell us any more about what it's going to be in Ecuador?
So it's about, I can't talk too much about it, but it's parallel zero. So in Ecuador, you have the seven main ecosystems layered on top of each other. So you have everything from glaciers to rainforests to the mountains. And the main goal, so for me, people only protect what they love. And so my goal with this film is to have people just fall in love with nature, because then we'll protect nature. And so just showing how like integral like each ecosystem is to the other one. Like if something fails in the ocean, that's going to affect the rainforest, and that in turn is going to affect the glaciers. And so it's a really science-based show, but we're going to make it fun and exciting, a lot of adventures in it, a lot of cool people to interview. But the goal of that, though, is just to hopefully get people just to fall in love with like the ocean, fall in love with the glaciers, fall in love with the animals. And because like, yeah, it's our home. Like I always say that I feel the most at home when I'm not in the house. And it's like we need to protect it and play in it. It's our playground. And so I'm super passionate about nature and safe, like helping it. So those are the main projects. I have some other stuff that I'm, you're always in this business, like you're always trying, you're always creating and seeing what sticks and what doesn't. I want to write a kid's book. And so there's stuff I'm working on. And again, the biggest thing right now though is just be with my mom and I've been really horrible at like being a sister and a daughter lately. I've just sort of been not at home. It's just so hard to go home, because again, like it makes everything real. And so I need to get a little bit stronger and just go back home for a bit and see my mom and my sisters, because I need to practice what I preach. And I keep saying it's all about family, and here I am by myself in a van. Now that I just said that, I was like, oh man, I need to get home. But after clam baking in Maine, I'll slowly start heading back to them. That's sort of what's going on with me.
And that I feel yeah. Go ahead.
Oh no, I just said I feel like I just talked a million miles an hour, and I don't even know what I just threw out there.
No, you just did. You were just yourself. That's what I love about you. Are you kidding me? What about last, you talked about kind of your projects, but you're always up to something crazy when it comes, at least to someone like me, I'll use the word crazy, when it comes to all sorts of sports and athletic stuff. And are you healed at the moment, or what is going on with you?
Oh, is that bait for my fingers? So my new adventure passion is surfing. I fell in love with it like a year and a half ago. I've been spending most of my time in Costa Rica and Nicaragua. And my last trip to Nicaragua, I broke my fingers. So they're bad. I was out surfing. It was like a full moon surf session. And let me clarify, I'm still like learning to surf. I'm not like amazing, but I'm getting where I can make it down the line and all that. And so I love it. But was coming in from a night surf and carrying my board, and then I slipped on a rock and cut my leg open in a bunch of spots. But after that, I was like, something feels weird with my hands. And so I put it up to the moonlight, and I look, and they were all backwards. Oh. These were sideways, and these were completely backwards. But I had, like, right when it happened, I remember seeing my dad fall down the steps when I was younger at our cabin, and then his fingers were backwards, and he just grabbed them and pulled. And so I was like, I guess I better grab and pull. And I just grabbed them, pulled, and set these two really nicely, but these other two were just mangled. And then I met a guy who had a ruler. Like, he was a owner of this little, like hostel area. And I was like, do you have anything so I could, like, tape my fingers to something straight? And he had, in his backpack, he had a ruler. So he saw the little ruler and then made a splint. And then if I was smart, I should have went to the hospital when I got back, because they're still just weird looking.
Yikes.
I know, but
oh, yes, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Other than that, I'm going to sound like a crazy person, but I'll share it with you guys because you're aviation family. So it was my first time in Costa Rica making it down a green wave, which is a glassy, clear, beautiful wave. And I was going straight, but your goal is to go down the line of the wave. And so I was feeling like lighter that day, like Skittles. And I'm like, oh my God, my mom was feeling a little bit like old me again. And so I wasn't going to go surfing at sunset, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to paddle out. Paddled out, saw this wave coming, caught it, went down the line. And then my dad used to call me Dudette. And I swear to you, like, I heard him say, good job, Dudette. And then I felt him everywhere. And then I like started crying, but they were such happy. It was pure like joy and happiness. And I like, oh, I just like, at that point I like knew he was in me. But then I was like, I need to be on a wave all the time. Like, so now it's just constantly like trying to catch a wave, and I'm like, come on, say it again. I heard him. Like, I heard him, and then it was so special. We didn't talk about that, but then no, it's like I've had like dreams of him, and oh, you'll appreciate this one. The last one, the second to last one, he was on the airport in Uniclete on a one wheel, like ripping down the Uniclete airport on a one wheel, like going so fast. And then he waved at me and my mom and my sisters and jumped off the one wheel and just slid down the runway and smiled. And it was just like, and we're like, what? Oh, I woke up laughing so hard though. But yeah, I've been so lucky that I've gotten to see him, and like I write him notes all the time and letters, and I'm like, haven't felt you in a while. Like, are you just ignoring me? Like, what's going on? And then he answers in some way, like a feeling or like a dream. And yeah, so if anyone out there is dealing with grief and stuff, like it's helped me so much to write to him notes. And I have a little bit of his ashes in the van with me, and so he's my road dog, and we've been traveling. And a couple of days ago, I'm like, he's just been in my backpack, and I'm like, oh, like he's probably so annoyed that he's in my backpack and not like in the front seat or like hanging from. So now he's like hanging from the like rear view mirror and has the best view of the open road. And yeah, and so yeah, I think half the time people probably think I'm crazy, but I think everyone deals with loss in their own way. And I think for me, I'm like, I want to be able to share these memories with people, and like, yeah, and just keep him alive. Like your relationship, I heard a cool quote, is like, your relationship with the one who passed away doesn't just end when they pass away. It evolves, it changes. Like, it might, it's like sometimes it even grows deeper. Like I've had I don't feel like it just ended when he like passed away. I feel like it's just a different relationship now, and that's been super helpful. Yeah,
that's a wonderful thought. I know that there's a lot of people that are dealing with that right now, and that's a really, really interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I've been just reading a lot, and it's like people that look at my like bookshelf now probably think I'm like, whoa, she is, she's going through something. It's just like, how to deal with grief, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah. But it's good here. Like, you're, no one's ever alone. Like, I'm no special or different than anybody else. Like, oh, there's so many of my friends and people in my life that have gone through grief. And yeah, you just have to, like, everyone, it's some one thing that everyone has in common. Like, we're going to lose our loved ones and we're going to kick it sometime. And so it's just like, make this life matter. Like, make memories. Just, yeah, just like with this life, this human, little human life, like, is so, so short. And like, and so I'm just like, let's do it together and like laugh a lot.
That is so wonderful. I absolutely love that. Well, Aria, we have come to the time in the show where we'd like to do something called Social Flight's Fast Five with five questions for you. You up for that?
Oh, yeah, I'm game. Let's do it. So five questions and you'll just spit them out?
Yes, yes. So here we go.
Okay.
Ariel Tomito, are you ready for Social Flight's Fast Five?
Jeff, I sure am.
Right. We're going to start with something from your flying experience. And I'm wondering, you have had opportunity to fly in or around a whole bunch of different things that take you into the sky. Is there one in particular that comes to mind that's a little near and dear to your heart?
Oh, man, just flying with my dad in his 185, hands down, landing on riverbeds, like landing on the tundra. Like, we got to, like, land anywhere in, like, remote areas with my dad and just seeing him smile and get excited, like, scoping out new landing spots and everything. Like, that is, like, it's so fun. And him, like, he loves wildflowers. So being able to land and look at the wildflowers with him was so nice. But his 185 for sure. His Super Cup, too. Oh, they're on the 207, too. But I'm going to go with that. Oh, he said these are quick. These are quick. Okay, what 185.
No, you can pick all three. That's fine. That's fine. All right. Question number two, and we're not going to limit this one to aviation. Can be whatever you want. But was there some moment? Usually people think about it with flying, but it could be you're such an adventure. Was there some moment that you have experienced that was scary, challenging, impactful that somehow changed you and had a different view on things that comes to mind?
Probably one of my last surfing experience. I got rolled in the wave and then I couldn't, it was my first time not knowing which way was up. And so I couldn't figure out which way was up. So I knew to let my, my board go. And so, cause the board floats to the top. And so I was pulling my, like getting up to the top. And right when I got my head up, another wave came and I was like, wow, this is how I'm going to go. But there was something in me that was like, no, fight a little bit harder. And I was so out of breath and just tired. But after that, well, it makes you learn that, yeah, you're not invincible. I always thought like, yeah, I always felt so invincible, but now I'm like, oh yeah, definitely not. And then also just like respect for the ocean. And just said that the ocean has no judgment. It doesn't care if you're who you are. It doesn't care what you are. It just like, it will like humble you for sure. And so I think that was the most recent one. I have so many, but that was probably the most recent one.
All right. Question number three, if you were to pick a moment in time that you could kind of go back, not to change, but to re-experience, to just be back there for a minute and soak it in. Is there some memory that you have that you would put yourself back there?
Family cabin with my mom and my sisters and my dad. And like we just almost every weekend just flying up to the cabin, fishing, making little like picnics, everyone napping like on the airport, like on the his landing strip, and just, yeah, the cabin. Like it was so special. It's so special. Like we're so, like still we'll be able to go there. But yeah, it was our little spot.
Excellent. All right. Question number four. If you could kind of go back to your the younger self, I know you're very young, but your younger self, and give yourself a little pep talk, a little bit of advice from where you are now. What would you say?
What would I say to my little old self? probably just in, I'm like love setting goals. I love moving forward like quickly. I think I would just say, Matt, slow down a little bit and savor each moment. This last year I'm a lot slower and just like more present in everything that I do. And like, I don't remember my 20s at all. It was just a blur. And I wish I took a beat before like doing stuff and just appreciating like where I was at and the struggles and just realizing like once you get to the top, like cool. And then you set another goal. So just like enjoy the process of you're getting towards your goal. Enjoy the process of like aging and growing and evolving and changing. So I would just say slow down a bit.
That makes a lot of sense, especially for someone who moves as fast as you do. I can get that. All right, and our last question on Social Flight's Fast Five. If you could, I'm going to say this one very carefully in respect of you and your family and what you've been through, but if there's anyone on the planet around now or in history or anywhere that you would love the opportunity to spend an evening with or have dinner with and someone that you've read about anything, who comes to mind?
No, just that's a given. My dad, for sure. Yeah. I was going to joke with you and be like Abraham Lincoln or something, but yeah, no, like it would be my dad for sure. Like, yeah. And I'd give and everything.
Yeah.
To sit with him. But again, he's here. Like I know for sure that there's something before, like after this. Like you just feel it, and I'm not like that's a way longer 5-minute answer thing, but yeah, I feel so like strongly that your loved ones are still in you or around you or with you after.
I love that you still have that connection and that comfort that you're still able to be with him. That's really quite inspiring in and of itself.
No, it's been, okay, let me share one last thing that's helped me so much, like a visual. So, sorry, I get excited. So when your loved one is around, it's like your soul or their everything is contained in a mason jar. So picture that. And then once they pass on, it's like someone finally like breaked open the mason jar and then finally they're like, are set free or like they're everywhere. Well, in this life, we're so constricted and so contained. We feel pain. We feel like all this like hurt and stuff. And so we're so confined. But once you like pass on, it's like, oh, finally I'm untethered. Like I don't think our human brain could even comprehend like the expansiveness that could happen. And I am just like, oh yes, dad is like, he's free. Like he's finally getting to just be like in his, he was obsessed with space. Like he memorized over 346 stars. Like he was so afraid of losing his memory that he would have me and my sisters lay out in the snow with him and quiz him on stars. And then he got that app and a telescope and he memorized over 300 some stars, but he's in the stars. Like he's flipping pumped.
Oh man. I love that.
Yeah, I love it too. It makes me like able to breathe and just be like, okay, things are okay. But man, sometimes it just, I've never felt pain like when you miss somebody though. It's just like I don't care. Like I want him here, and so sometimes that happens, and it's just, it hurts, like yeah. Physically just hurts. But you have these strong, like my mom, like she's then you're like, okay, put on your like. Just get it together and like let's like keep living and try to find like just that pain eases a little bit once you're just like, hey, he's around. But
that's a wonderful way of thinking of it, and I'm gonna think about that long and hard because I've known quite a few people recently that have passed away, and that is probably the nicest most wonderful way of thinking of it.
Thank you. I'm glad I could share that with you. And sorry about your losses.
Well, and sorry for yours. There's quite a few going on. So again, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for everything that you do. I am truly, truly grateful for your friendship. You have really inspired me and brought light into my life as well.
Thank you, and thank you for always being so kind and for being so patient with me and the technology.
Anytime. We will see you out here soon. I cannot wait for that.
Yes, we'll see you in the Jesus, like 10 days-ish.
Exactly, exactly.
A little bit more, but around that time frame.
Around that time frame.
Yeah, thank you. Your interviewing skills are getting even better. And it's been great. I love it. Keep crushing.
You got it. All right. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you soon, Ariel.
Bye. Thank you all.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And thank you to all of you for taking time out of your evening to join us here on Social Flight Live. I also want to dedicate this show to John Williams of Titan Aircraft. John passed away in an aircraft accident on this past Sunday evening a week ago when we were at AirVenture just before he came to the show. And so there's been a lot of loss in the aviation community, and I would just like to dedicate this show to John. And with that, of course, we will be back next Tuesday, August 6th, with Lynette Halter. Lynette is an absolutely wonderful individual, a wonderful human being who I met down at Sun and Fun. She's a Navy veteran and just completing her build of her Very Ease. And I'm telling you, she is a firecracker that you just got to get to know. Then we're off for a week, and we are back with an amazing show Tuesday, August 20th. Please do not miss this one. P-51 fighter pilot and World War II hero Bill Lyons will be here on the show. And I'm telling you, Bill is, he's 100 years old, just to set that aside. These are treasures, human beings that we need to spend to hear their stories, to learn lessons from them. And I've met Bill. He is just truly amazing, and I cannot wait to share him and his story with you on Tuesday, August 20th at 8 p.m. here on Social Flight. And I look forward to seeing all of you again. Again, thank you so much for being patient with us and taking time for the show, and for joining us here on Social Flight Live. And I wish you all blue skies.